Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Tommy Lugauer.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Dude's dog's damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Well, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
Let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. Another Yankee victory in what felt like a postseason atmosphere for the second straight day and what could be a postseason preview between the Yankees and Guardians. Spencer Jones gets off the schneid in a big-time way. Jazz plays hero, and it was a crisp, clean, one-run victory for the Yankees. And I'll tell you why this is important for this group. Because it's early June. We know Aaron Judge is going to miss time. The Yankees are clearly going to October to play baseball. But what is important about these type of victories is it gives the Yankees the confidence that they can not only beat teams with an above 500 record, but that they can beat them in close games. Both of those things have been a bugaboo for this group. And the ability on back-to-back nights in what was a postseason-type atmosphere. You know, last night was a classic game between the Yankees and Guardians, but it was completely overshadowed, of course, by an NBA Finals game. But if that had been a game in early April or September or really throughout the summer and there was no Knicks Finals game going on, it would have been a major story in terms of how that game played out. It was over 3.5 hours, a ton of pitching changes, extra innings. It was a great game, really a classic regular season game. And then tonight was another really good, crisp game where the Yankees won in a low-scoring, tight game, which is a credit to them and I think puts a big feather in their cap. Because these games without Judge, I think gives the Yankees confidence that, hey, even if Aaron's sidelined for a little bit, we could still get it done. And we know the American League is weak. That's not the Yankees' problem. In fact, take full advantage of it. Much like the Knicks did, and we'll get to them after the top of the hour, because I have a lot to say about now that having 24 hours to digest last night and look ahead to tomorrow evening at Madison Square Garden, we're going to spend the majority of the show talking about the Knicks, putting a bow on last night. We do have some news about Wemby and whether or not he has been issued a flagrant for the, well, non-foul call on Jalen Brunson last night. So we're going to have a lot to say about the Knicks, the finals, Game 3 and Game 4. But I was just very impressed with what the Yankees have done over the last couple of days, you know, under the radar. Really, that's where baseball's at now because the Knicks have taken center stage, and rightfully so. they are the main topic. They are the majority of the focus and the energy and the enthusiasm in this city. But the Yankees are quietly, ever since they got tough news, although the Judge news really ended up being good news in the way that it ruled out season-ending surgery. If that was what happened and the news we got the first day that Aaron Judge, or second day he had to sit out, then yeah, okay, that's awful news, because door number one was day-to-day and door number two was out for a couple months. When we got to the end of the road there, door number one was Aaron Judge misses the season. Door number two was he misses a couple of months. So all of a sudden, a couple of months sounded a heck of a lot better than season-ending surgery. And the Yankees really ever since then have been playing good baseball. Victory against the Red Sox, they had the one rainout, and then these two really, really impressive postseason-like victories in Cleveland against a good Guardian team. I'm not going to call them a great Guardian team. And they're another one. Until they really win the big one, it's hard to ever put a lot of stock in them. I'm just going to say this right now. And let me check the standings here real quick, because the team that I was high on in that division, and they've gotten off to just a miserable... Yeah, I mean, I'll say this right now. I think at some point, the Tigers are going to make a run. They've played awful baseball. Obviously, Scooble's been out here, but I thought the Tigers would win the division. They've been hideous, but they're only 8.5 back. And I'm not saying they don't even have to win the division in the American League to get it to October, because it's so awful. You know, we could see a team with an under 500 record or right around 500 sneak into the postseason out of the American League. So I think the Tigers are going to make a run. But Cleveland's, they're okay. To me, the class of the American League are the Yankees. And the three biggest, I think, competition that the Yankees would see is Seattle. But again, much like Cleveland, I got to see it to believe it. Never won a World Series, never even been to one. Tampa, which is a tough, pesky team. I think the key there is if Tampa has home field against, and now it's down to one in the loss column. If Tampa has home field, that could be a problem for the Yankees, because the Trop is a house of horrors for them. But if the Yankees have home field in any series against Tampa in October, Yankees are going to flex their muscles and advance. And the other team would be Toronto, who obviously has not gotten off to the greatest of starts here in the first couple of months. They've kind of battled through injuries. They're still a few games under 500. But Toronto, based off of last year, and just I don't think they fear the Yankees in any way. And we know they have guys in that lineup, whether it's Clement, whether it's Springer, that give the Yankees problems. So-called Yankee killers. Those would be the three teams. Anybody else? Cleveland? No way. The White Sox? No way. Rangers? No way. Detroit, if they could ever get healthy and get Scooble, you know, in a short series with Scooble. But at the same time, the Yankees have three aces. That's a tall order in any length of series, let alone a short one. It's all set up, even without Judge here, for the Yankees to have a monster regular season and be the odds-on favorite to represent the American League in the World Series. And things can change over the next couple months. Maybe a new contender emerges, or one of the contenders I just mentioned really separates themselves as the team. You know, maybe that team is Seattle, who has really turned it on as of late and is now starting to get a comfortable lead out west. But by far, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. And the two things you look for in the regular season is, can they win close games? Can they beat good teams? They've done that the last two nights. And then ultimately down the line, can this lineup hit consistently in October? And I think with the emergence of Rice, that certainly gives them a leg up come the postseason. Bellinger, you know, can help you win in multiple ways, but he's got to win with the bat, and he hasn't been the greatest of postseason players in terms of his offense, and we know Stanton is one of the great all-time Yankee postseason performers. But that's where a guy like Jazz, that's where a Grisham, that's where a McMahon, Volpe, we'll see where they come into play We'll see what the catcher situation is. Goldschmidt has been awesome and really not surprising. I mean, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's been terrific, though, this year, especially over the last month or so. And it'll be interesting to see what the Yankees do at the deadline, if they add more bats, how things will shape up, especially in their infield. But no matter who's wearing the pinstripes in that order come October, they have to hit. And if they do with this starting rotation, and I would imagine a revamped bullpen come the deadline, the Yankees are going to be a wagon in the American League. And then, much like the Knicks, when you get to the finals, you take your chances. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Right, those are my thoughts on the Yankees and their last couple games. When we come back, Knicks. I want to get into the officiating stuff, especially the reaction from the fans and the media and everybody surrounding it. I want to get into some of the other things that cost the Knicks in Game 3 and a look ahead to Game 4 later on. Well, we're not there yet because it's still an hour away, so I'll say that in an hour. But later on this evening in an hour, and then for now, tomorrow evening at Madison Square Garden, Game 4, which should be another crazy scene at MSG. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. 11:04 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Can you climb a tree?
No! Why would I? What? No! Of course not! Forgot Rosenberg was... Oh, enough. Out of you. I forgot Rosenberg was even here tonight because he often isn't here. He's got a lot of outside interests. He can't produce the show, especially, I think, a week ago when we had an open night. So when he's here, he plays these dopey long drops. So we have to deal with it. I have to deal with it as his friend, unfortunately. And even more unfortunate, I have to deal with it as the host that he is my producer. Is that the best way? You know, I have several full-time producers.
You're my best friend.
Rosenberg, Head and Shoulders, is the worst by far, but awful. I mean, existing here is just basically his best ad.
There you go, Polly.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Okay, after 24 hours and more digesting of this Nick loss in Game 3.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
here's what I have to say about it, and I'm going to keep this as crystal clear as I possibly can. The Knicks lost last night because they played poorly. They lost last night because they didn't shoot the ball well, particularly in the fourth quarter. They lost last night, the Knicks did, because it was too much Brunson dribbling and too much Brunson shooting. The Knicks lost last night because they only got 2 points from Bridges. They lost last night because Cat was not active in the game in terms of getting his shots and getting his touches. The offense didn't flow through Karl Anthony Towns. The stuff that we saw throughout this 13-game winning streak was not there last night. It was the bad habits that has plagued this team at times in the regular season and early on in the playoffs. Too much Brunson, not enough Cat. The shooting was awful, especially from Shamet, who has been sensational, but he had a bad game, and a lot of it was Shamet wasn't catching the ball in a spot where he could get a good look. It was off-balance shots. They weren't in rhythm last night, the Knicks. It was too much Brunson dribbling around, and then, all right, I got to bail out here and pass it off to somebody. It was hot potato. It didn't look like poetry in motion. It didn't look like the Warrior teams with KD and Clay and Steph and Draymond, where it was one heartbeat, and it was just beautiful to watch that team move the ball around and play basketball. How connected they were, and the just continuity that that Warrior team had and that the Knicks have had in this 13-game winning streak that is now over and yesterday's news. What we saw last night, and the reason why the Knicks lost, is because they didn't move the basketball. Cat wasn't getting his touches. Too much Brunson. Bad game from Shamet. Bad shooting performance, especially in the fourth quarter. That's why the Knicks lost. It didn't have a damn thing to do with the officiating. Nothing. And I know everybody wants to, oh, there's a conspiracy theory, and the league wants the Spurs to either win, or they want this series to go 6 or 7, and that's why we lost. That's not why the Knicks lost. Complaining about refs, and you see it all the time in the NFL, it just drives me crazy. You see it in the NBA, it's part of the discourse, it's part of the online and on the airwaves, sort of, oh, the referees and the refs and the refs. And the problem with this stuff, the problem with complaining about officiating is you turn a blind eye to your players and you only complain about what's going on with the other team. And I know that's part of being a fan, but that's what's going on. And the reason why the Knicks are not getting to the foul line is not because the refs got a phone call from Adam Silver saying, hey guys, we need this series to go longer because it's going to be massive TV ratings. Or, hey guys, Wemby's the star of the league and we have to protect him and the Spurs are the next dynasty and we want them to win a chip now and the heck with New York and there's a bias against New York City. That's not why. The Knicks are not getting to the free throw line because they're, especially last night, because they weren't aggressive. They were shooting a lot of jump shots. You're not going to get to the line when you do that. The Spurs were the aggressor. They were getting to the basket. They were getting to the paint. The Knicks didn't want to go to the paint because Wemby was down there. And they didn't have the flow of their offense going. That's why. It had nothing to do with a bias or a conspiracy theory. Wemby had 9 free throw attempts in game 3. Brunson had, and OG, they had 9 and 8. I forgot which one had 9, which one had 8. But the bottom line is Brunson either had 9 or 8 and OG had 9 or 8. You get the idea. The two guys that actually scored a bunch of points for the Knicks and were aggressive, too aggressive for Brunson, they got to the line just as much as Wemby. Everybody else was shooting jump shots. Mikal Bridges was not engaged in the game. He got 2 early fouls, and he had a bad Mikal Bridges game, similar to the early moments he had against Atlanta. Cat didn't get to the line virtually at all because he was not getting the ball. This is very similar to what we saw in the early stages against Atlanta. which is something that I thought the Knicks had gotten over and had moved on from. And they did in that 13-game winning streak. But unfortunately, it reared its ugly head last night. It reared its ugly head in Game 3. But the aggressiveness of the Spurs is the reason why they were getting on the line more. Cat had 3 free throw attempts. That's not good enough. And it's not on Cat. Because Cat's got to get the basketball and the offense has to roll through him and move through him in order for him to get to the line. Now, the Wemby foul on Brunson, which the league did come out and say it should have been a foul. By the way, breaking news, Wemby is not going to get a flagrant for that, and they want to protect him. And he has had some plays throughout this playoff run for the Spurs where he should have either gotten a flagrant, you could even argue a suspension, a fine, whatever the case may be. He skipped the media one. Look, they're going to protect their golden boy. That's just the way sports works across the board. Name me a sport where that doesn't happen. You have to overcome it if you're the Knicks when it comes to that type of stuff. But in terms of the foul calls or the reason why the Knicks lost, it had nothing to do with the president being there. It had nothing to do with the officiating. It had everything to do with the Knicks had a bad performance. They stunk in the fourth quarter. They couldn't hit a shot. They weren't the aggressors. The continuity and ball movement that we have seen in the last 13 games prior to last night did not exist. It was too much Brunson trying to do everything. And Karl-Anthony Towns was a non-factor. After putting on 2 MVP of the series performances in Game 2, both offensively and defensively, they got away from what was working. And I think a lot of that has to do with what the Spurs did to the Knicks defensively. And I think that this team sometimes, when there's a little bit of a, and I say this word in, because I can't think of a better word, when they panic a little bit, Brunson feels like I got to put the cape on. And more often than not, he puts that cape on and they win. And they even had an opportunity last night, and Brunson had big shots down the stretch. But too many shots throughout the game, and not enough for Cat. You have to keep Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns engaged. Jalen Brunson alone does not equal success. This team doesn't win a championship. They don't have this run if it's just Jalen Brunson jacking up 30 shots. What makes this team special, especially in their winning streak, was because everybody was involved. Everybody was playing. They were getting great contributions from everybody. It wasn't, let's stand around and watch Jalen Brunson dribble. When you do that, you're going to lose. And the team had no rhythm. And that's why I think Shamet had the bad offensive performance and the bad shooting night that he had, because he's a rhythm guy. And he plays within brilliantly within the confines of the Knicks and their ability to move the, when they're clicking, to move the basketball around. Everybody's touching it. You've heard me say this for months and months and months about this team. They are at their best when the ball is moving. Everybody's getting their touches. Cat is heavily involved. And they're not predictable down the stretch. But that's why they lost. It has nothing to do with the officiating. OG got to the line 9 times. Jalen got to the line 8 times. Both guys that were aggressors for the Knicks got to the free throw line. Wemby got there 9 times. And then outside of that, nobody else really, I mean, Castle was the second closest, and he was 6 times to the line. Sometimes it could just be low-hanging fruit to complain about officiating when you lose. Just like it is, I'm going to honk my horn in traffic, not because I think the traffic's going to get any better when I honk it, but just because I'm frustrated at my surroundings, which is there's constant traffic in New York City. There's constant traffic in Long Island. There's constant traffic in Connecticut, which might be the worst of the traffic, by the way, in the tri-state. Connecticut traffic. I mean, if you leave now for Connecticut, you should get there in 6 days. But make no mistake that I said it last night, and I want to hammer it home even more tonight because I think it's gotten worse and worse as it's festered here since the Game 3 defeat. And that is that the officiating didn't have a damn thing to do with why the Knicks lost that game. Now, Mike Brown, which he should do, by the way, and anybody that's going to criticize him, I think Barkley did this, and I love Charles, but this is Mike Brown's job to do this. It's not crying. He, as a head coach, we've been seeing it for years. If he feels like my team's not getting the whistle enough and the other team is, the best thing you could do as a coach is, after the game, when you meet the media, especially in the age of social media, is to voice your displeasure. I don't think Mike Brown sitting around with his coaches or his players sitting there, but man, those officials, they screwed us. It's a conspiracy. The league wants this to go 7 games. I highly doubt that Mike Brown had that conversation with anybody offline. But Mike Brown, as a savvy veteran head coach, because this has been going on for decades with coaches, especially in the playoffs, when you feel like your team is on the wrong end of the whistle, you will publicly shame the refs, and in most instances, you'll get a couple more calls in the next game. So I credit Mike Brown for doing that because any head coach worth his anything would do that. That being said, the Knicks can get calls in this game, but they still need to execute. They still need to execute. That's what this series is all about. It's tight. It's a coin flip type of series. And it's about executing. And the Knicks weren't able to execute their offense. The Spurs deserve a ton of credit for that. But also, the Knicks reverted back to a lot of bad habits. And the biggest bad habit that they have when they lose games is too much Brunson. Too many shots. Too much dribbling. Not enough cohesiveness. Not enough connection. Not enough ball movement. And then late in the shot clock, it's hot potato, and these guys around Brunson are not in rhythm. Now, a couple like OG and Clarkson, they were able to bail out this team with some wild and crazy threes, but it still wasn't, and it's not the way that you want to draw it up. Guys are going to make circus shots sometimes late in the shot clock. Castle did it for that three-pointer that put the Spurs up 7 before De'Aaron Fox had a dagger late in the game to put them up 5. But that's not the way you want to live if you're the Knicks. It's not a recipe for success. Late in the game, close game, if Brunson wants to put the cape on, by all means, that does usually set up for the Knicks to win a basketball game. But throughout, and even early on in the fourth quarter, you have to keep your other starters engaged. You can't have Mikal Bridges revert back to, I'm not really involved in the offense, and I'll score, 2 points. And that takes the Knicks down a level. Or when Karl-Anthony Towns is not really engaged in the offense, he's not getting to the free throw line, he doesn't get his looks, he doesn't get his shots, he doesn't get his touches.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
That's a recipe for disaster. That being said, I think the Knicks will respond in a big-time way. I think they will realize the mistakes that they made. It's easy to look at the 13 games they won and then look at last night and go, what do you think we should do? Do the what we did in the 13-game winning streak or last night? That, to me, is an easy, quick fix. They know the 13-game winning streak, that recipe, comes with success. And I expect a heavy dose of Karl-Anthony Towns. I think they're going to get Mikal Bridges looks early and often in the first quarter to get him engaged, to keep him engaged, so that you get that 15, 18-point performance from Bridges. I'm not worried about Ananobi. I'm not worried about Josh Hart. If he could duplicate the shooting night he had, great, but if he doesn't, Josh Hart can contribute. See, the thing with Josh Hart is, if he gets you 15 points, that's gravy. Josh Hart could score 2 points and the Knicks could win by 30 because Josh Hart does so many different things on a basketball court, and you never, ever, ever have to worry about Josh Hart losing his focus or not being engaged in a game. That's the last thing that's going to happen to that guy. He'll fight you to the final whistle. So I'm not worried about Josh Hart in terms of being involved in the offense or being focused. Some nights he's going to have a hot shooting touch. Credit to him for working on that in the offseason, especially with getting hand surgery. He's had a terrific shooting, you know, year, and he's been spotty in the playoffs, but he's had his moments. He's certainly not a liability anymore where teams are just going to leave him open and not pay for it. But Josh Hart's going to be engaged. OG's going to be engaged. Bridges and Towns are the guys that you have to keep involved. Unfortunately, they don't always have that alpha mentality. Give me the basketball. Demand it. You know, they could fall out of focus when it comes to the offense. And you saw that last night. And if the Knicks continue to do that, they're going to be in trouble. I don't think they will, but if they do, it's going to be a problem. Even though they only need two more wins. I expect the Knicks to respond in a big-time way. I predicted the series would end in five. I'm sticking to that prediction. I still feel great about that because I feel great about this team and I feel great about them making the adjustments that are necessary for game four and then game five. The experience is in the Knicks' favor. The depth is in the Knicks' favor. Karl-Anthony Towns, when he's engaged, has been a problem for Wemby. When the game is tight and the game is close and the Knicks are playing their brand of basketball, Jalen Brunson is the best closer, the Mariano Rivera of the NBA. So that's an advantage to the Knicks. The Spurs still don't have a guy. Like, Fox made a big shot. Castle made a big shot. But they don't have that go-to guy late in the game when they need a bucket. They don't. The Knicks have more answers when they're clicking and they're operating on all cylinders. They have more answers than the Spurs do. And in a series where it's going to come down to execution, in all likelihood, there won't be a blowout victory for either side, although I could see it in the Knicks' clincher, the Spurs letting go to the rope. If there's going to be a blowout, it would be that. But these games have been tight, and it comes down to the execution. Knicks were able to execute in Game 1. The Spurs didn't execute in Game 2. And then the Spurs executed in Game 3. And that's been the reason why the series is 2-1. And there will be a trip back to San Antonio. And it's not only the Spurs on the plane. The Knicks will have their own plane out to San Antonio for Game 5 Saturday night. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. All right, you heard a lot from me. We're going to hear from you coming up. Full bank of callers. We'll get to everybody. We got 2.5 hours here on After Hours. Does that sound right? 12:30, 1:30. 2.5 hours here on After Hours. Got you till 2 a.m. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. 11:31 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
It's hard.
It's going to be even harder during the Knicks. Speaking of the Knicks, programming alert for tomorrow for After Hours. Yankee game during the day. I will not be on at 7 p.m. like I normally am when the Yankees are not playing at night. I will be on at 10 p.m. and I'll be on till 2 a.m. So I'll be the first voice you hear once the Knicks game is over. And then we will have full reaction, my takes, your calls, all the way up to 2 a.m. It'll obviously be here on WFAN. FM, AM, the Odyssey app, and also on YouTube. So for my YouTube people, I will be back on YouTube following Craig and Big Mac, and I think Gallo and Hoff pop in there too, so it's like a Carton Show kind of deal. They have a post game, which runs about 20 minutes after the final buzzer. So figure 25 or so after the game ends, 20-25, you'll see me on YouTube, but you will hear me immediately on WFAN as soon as the game ends, and even before that. So if you want to hang with me during the third and fourth quarter, you absolutely should do that if you want to just kind of listen to me and watch the game. And if you want to call up, because I'll be on from 10 to 2. So I won't be on at 7 like I normally would because the Yankees are playing during the day. I will be on tomorrow at 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. and also on YouTube. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. It's now time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night. Presented by Corona, La Playa awaits.
Wembanyama comes out, shot clock at 4. Now the dribble. Shot clock winding down. Castle has to put it up. Bang! Stephon Castle from three-point range. And it's a 7-point Spurs lead.
Okay, the reason I play that highlight is obviously it was a big shot. But also, it was a horrible possession by the Spurs. It was kind of similar to what the Knicks were doing all night, where their star player was dribbling, and nobody was really moving, and the ball wasn't flowing through the offense, and Castle, as the buzzer sounded on the shot clock, had a bailout three-pointer. So credit to him for hitting it, but it was not a good look, and it was not good execution. And that was a major, major, major three. Now, credit the Knicks. They fought back in that, and then Fox ultimately had the dagger that put them up 5. But it just goes to show you that the Spurs don't really have that go-to guy. You know, Wemby is great, and he certainly has disrupted this series defensively, and he played a perfect basketball game in Game 3. But defensively is where he is the most disruptive. But I don't think the Spurs have anybody that they can just, hey, Jalen Brunson, you give him the ball late in the game, and there's like a 95% chance he's going to make a bucket. And if not, he'll go to the free throw line. The Spurs don't have that guy, which is why I remain overly confident and cocky that the Knicks are going to win this series in five. So that would put the parade at Monday or Tuesday. My gut says Monday. I got to talk to my parade people. But my thinking on this is if Saturday night, Monday night would be the parade. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Aaron in Queens here on the Fan. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's up, Tommy?
What's up, bro?
I think for the Knicks, they should send a message early in the game. Get maybe like someone like Jeremy Sochan in the game. Just like hit Wemby hard, run through a screen. Like send a message beginning of the game that they're not going to take the physicality that they brought to them in game three.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Aaron. And I was going to focus on this later on the show, but since you brought it up, perfect timing for it now to discuss it. I think the best retaliation is to beat them and beat them in this series. I understand as a Knicks fan, you harken back to the 90s Knicks, even if you're young enough to not even remember that, but it was the theory of, well, Oakley or Mason, they're going to give, you know, somebody a receipt, and I get, you know, you put somebody off the bench who doesn't play a lot of minutes, if they get a tee, if they get a flagrant, whatever, whether it's Huck Porty or someone like that, and you send a message back to Wemby. I totally understand that, but I think the best way to really show the Spurs that the Knicks mean business is to put a whooping on them and beat them and win this series.
Yeah, I hear that, but just send them a little message. Don't let them bully Brunson around like that.
Yeah, I think it's one play there, and I hear you, but I still think the best retaliation is to beat them and to play the basketball that they played in that 13-game winning streak. And if Wemby continues to get out of hand, then you might have to throw hands. And Alvarado has already spoke up about it, and Alvarado fears nobody. The size discrepancy between Wemby and Jose Alvarado is obviously Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve-esque. You would obviously want it to be a guy who's a little bit bigger, but Alvarado, don't be fooled by his size. The guy's heart and his intensity and his no-fear mentality is up there with anybody that's 7 feet tall and built with, you know, huge muscles. And I know that's going to be a lot of the discourse. The referees, the retaliation on Wemby. You got to be physical with him. Go after his knees. Give him a shot to the ribs. Forget that nonsense. The Knicks are two wins away from their first championship in 53 years. Don't get dragged down in the mud and caught up in all that stuff. Because I'm sure that's where the Spurs want it to go. Because they have to battle back in this series. They have to knock the Knicks off their game. They have to get the Knicks to where they're thinking about stuff like that. Or they're thinking about a retaliation. And then there's a retaliation for the retaliation. Then you have the fight. Then bench is clear. And all of a sudden it becomes like Monday Night Raw. Instead of the NBA Finals. The focus for the Knicks should not be retaliating in terms of physicality or dirty play or anything like that. Or a receipt or a message. The message should be, you're not going to come into this building and beat us again. We're going to play the crisp, clean style of basketball that we have all been accustomed to watching this team play in that winning streak that they just had. That, to me, is the best form of retaliation. Let's go to Jay in North Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Jay?
Mr. Luke, what's up, pal?
What's happening?
All right, so people got to understand something now, and some people that played basketball, you see a game plan last night of beat up on Brunson, make him hold the ball, then you get down to 7-8 seconds.
Yep.
There's no offensive flow.
None.
So if you now understand that Hart and Bridges really can't bring up the ball to get an offense going, you're going to have a problem. You have to address that.
Alvarado's got to bring the ball up. That, to me, is a guy that can bring the ball up. I would not have Deuce bringing the ball up if they're going to beat up Brunson. Look, Brunson plays a lot off the ball. If they're abusing him like that, the reason, at least I thought, why they brought in Alvarado, not just for his toughness and his defense, but because he's a pure point guard. So you know what? Make that adjustment if you have to. And you know Alvarado is not going to be shy away from the moment here in the light. So I like the idea of Alvarado handling the ball more.
I agree with you. And listen, I don't know what was up Bridges, maybe different sneakers. He had rocks.
You know what it was?
Feet,
honestly, Jay?
His feet were not good.
They weren't. This is how I diagnose it. He had two early fouls, and I think he was disengaged for the entire game. I think that threw him off his rhythm. I don't think he was able to engage after that. It kind of set him on the wrong track, and we got the Mikal Bridges that we have seen a bunch in his Knicks career and early on in this playoffs. I think if he stays out of foul trouble early, and I think, Jay, the Knicks are going to try to get him involved early. A couple of shots in the corner where he does the celebration to the opposing bench, and all of a sudden you get the Mikal Bridges that'll give you 15 and 18 points, and then the Knicks are off to the races.
Listen, I hope so, man. You hit a lot of good points, a lot of good callers hitting some points. And listen, there's got to be some sort of, I know you don't want to say it, a little physicality. They're taking the ball to the hole with no fear. There's got to be something that somebody's got to give up a few fouls on and say, this is not getting tolerated, not when you're playing in the Garden.
Yeah, Jay, I understand that, and I get it. I do, and what I'm saying now is sort of probably not music to people's ears. I think the key is more about the Knicks being aggressive on offense, getting to the charity stripe that way, having the flow of their offense, hitting their three-pointers, and let the Spurs... You don't think the Spurs were doing that in the first couple games? If the Knicks are on their game, the Spurs are not beating them. They're not. And I know, hey, the enforcer, the old days... It's not the old days. And I don't know if the Knicks are equipped to sort of send them that message. The way you're going to beat them is get Wemby away from the... Now, give the Spurs credit, and this is a major adjustment. Wemby, and you saw it early and often, was getting the ball down low in the paint. And when he does that, he's virtually unstoppable. He can knock down shots, he can knock down threes, and that's what makes him so special. But if you get him the ball underneath the basket, good night. So the Spurs made that adjustment, and I think the Knicks' adjustment now needs to be, hey, on offense, let's go back to what worked in that winning streak. And let's get Brunson off the ball. Let's get Alvarado bringing the ball up. And then if you want to send them a little message, but... Castle and Harper, these guys, they're young players, they're physical, they don't have any fear. I don't think you're going to strike fear in their heart. It sounds great, it makes for a good soundbite. It's a big rah-rah thing, you don't walk into the Garden, we're going to send that message, this is New York City. I don't think it's going to affect the Spurs. The way you beat them, the way you retaliate, and the way you dictate the pace of this game is to play your brand of basketball that was so dominating throughout that stretch and the brand of basketball that won you the first two games. That, to me, should be the strategy because I don't think you are going to affect the Spurs and these guys don't care. Castle and Harper, and they don't care. They're going to go to that basket and they're going to throw caution to the wind. I don't think we saw what Castle did on Holmgren. He turned him into a poster. Or was it Ihart? I think it might have been Ihart last series. But these guys will go up the elevator. They'll dunk on you. And that's what makes them so talented and so special and so scary in years to come. I wouldn't fight fire with fire there. I would go about it the way where the Knicks have their advantages in this series instead of trying to muck it up with San Antonio. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Tommy Lugaro on the Fan. I see everybody. We'll get to everybody. We got plenty of time here, a couple more hours to go on the show. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. We'll talk a lot of Knicks, the officiating, looking back a little bit on Game 3, more looking ahead at Game 4. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tommy Lugaro, Loogie in the late night here on the Fan. 11:49 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugaro. And those are some of the noises you will hear tomorrow night if you check me out during the game. I'll be on 10 p.m. programming alert, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. tomorrow. No Yankee game at night. It's during the day. Normally, I'd be on at 7 o'clock, but I will be on 10 to 2. So I'll be the first voice on the Fan that you'll hear after the game. Take your calls, reaction up till 2 a.m., but I'll also be on the air during the game. So you're going to hear some, And Digital will have a field day with that. Because I'll be on at 10, which is right around halftime. What's the halftime show tomorrow? It's going to be tough to top last night. And I can't stop thinking. Yeah, Nicki Minaj. I can't stop thinking about Cardi B and more in particular what Barkley had to say about it. And that's one of those things where, you know, here's the thing. It's nice in life when you get to a point like that where you can get away with saying things like that and nobody cares. Everyone's like, of course that's it. Everyone's thinking it. Well, Charles says it. You are aware of the cup sizes? You got the A. You got the B. You know that D is the biggest, right?
We've been competing with Cardi B here. We lost. Hey, I don't know if those B's. That might be Cardi B's.
We lost. I love that we lost. We've been competing. We lost. What a great line. All that was very funny. That's what makes Inside the NBA the best. You do know that D is the biggest size, though. I've centered my whole entire life around knowing that D is the biggest. Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, that's a tough act to follow. But I expect the stars to be out once again. It was clearly a star-studded list for Game 4. And that's really my focus. And this fan focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. It's all about Game 4. The stars will be out. The celebrities, the pageantry, the emotion, the electricity. Madison Square Garden will be the center of the universe, which it is during the not only the playoffs, but in particular here in the finals. First one in 27 years at the Mecca. It should be absolutely incredible in terms of the scene. And then I think the basketball game, the Knicks will make all the adjustments that plague them in Game 3. They will now fix that. You'll see a much better performance from them. I think they take Game 4 and 5. They win this series in 5, as I predicted before the series started. The parade will be Monday, latest Tuesday. I lean Monday. I think and my reasoning for that is because the longer you delay the parade, the more scenes you'll have at night. I think they want to get the parade here as quickly as humanly possible. And we'll get to the stuff with the watch parties and all the viral videos from last night. We will address all of that stuff and some of the behavior from, and I'm not even 100% sure these are all Knicks fans, but the behavior of, we'll call it Knicks fans at this point, out in the streets. And it's not everybody, but it's a select few, and they ruin it for a lot of us. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call here on After Hours. Richard is in Manhattan. What's up, Rich?
Tommy, a couple of things.
Yeah.
First with the Yankees.
Yep.
Boone finally left a guy in that pitched a good eighth inning,
yep,
to go to the night. Finally! Yep. I've been saying this for years.
Yep.
If a guy's good in the eighth, I don't care if he's a closer, a starter, intermediate, leave him in there.
Unless you have like an all-world closer. Yeah, I'm with that. Ride the hot
hand. Even an all-world closer. If you got a guy that's good in the eighth,
well,
give
but
him
if
the
you
ninth.
Have if you have Edwin Diaz, you know, something like that, you're going to go to Diaz. If,
right.
if you have a
yesterday
the closer, you're going to go to him.
Yesterday, you got to give Donald Trump credit. He brought his granddaughter to the game. Not too many people bring their grandchildren to a basketball game. That's great. I don't understand why Mayor Bloomberg is sitting on the court. That's dangerous. A big guy like Hart runs into him. He's 84, 85.
Alvarado did, Rich.
What's that?
Alvarado did run into him.
He did, and it could have been worse.
Of course.
Older man, bones can be broken, something.
Well,
he ain't
going to
get out of the way.
That's for anybody. You don't have to be 84 to get your bones broken if somebody runs into you, Rich. You could be any type of age. Let me put it to you this way. Maybe I did sit courtside once for a college basketball game. I believe I did. For Duke, North Carolina. It was at Barclays. But I have sat ringside for wrestling. And I'll tell you what. It is. Now, the wrestlers are bigger than basketball players. But it's scary when they get thrown into the barricades or thrown over the barricades. Not that I'm built like a brick house, but it's scary for anybody. Not just somebody in their 80s or somebody that's super young. It is scary if anybody runs into you. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. We have a full runway here over the next 2 hours to take those phone calls at 888-808-1019. Knicks. It is Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars.
And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!